The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.
Repeat after me. George Soros is your friend. George Soros is your friend. George Soros is your friend. George Soros is the most loving, compassionate, and enlightened man in the history of the world. All his plans should be embraced by the planet. Those who resist will be eliminated. This concludes today's indoctrination lesson, for the betterment of all mankind. The Chad Olson Show thanks you for your cooperation. Goodbye.
January of 2020, you wrote an article titled COVID-19, Born in North Carolina, Sold to Wuhan Lab, Optimized for Pandemic Spread. You wrote that in January of 2020.
Everything that we saw Donald Trump succeed at, they were desperate to derail, and they did it with COVID-19. I say it to my audience all the time, and I'm going to say it to yours. The virus is the election fraud. The virus is the election fraud.
Again, you wrote this article January 2020. You called it before anybody had imprinted it. You were banned. You were canceled. You were trashed. You were lied about. Google algorithm was changed because of Chad Olson. I mean, because yes. You nailed it, brother, and everybody knew it.
This was their Hail Mary for the end zone to try to get Donald Trump out of office. Can you imagine Joe Biden running around the country having to campaign against 2.8% unemployment and a GDP growth rate of 4.5%?
Yeah.
Absolutely an impossibility. The Chinese and the deep state collaborated, and they absolutely made it happen.
And it's just now coming out such that congressmen, representatives and senators, they're all talking about it. Gain of function research. You mentioned that over and over.
But we're talking about this gain of function research that was transferred from the University of North Carolina, given to the Wuhan laboratory. Those relationships are absolutely documented. They are on record. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Robert Redfield, Francis Collins, National Institutes of Health, Xi Zheng Li, the bat coronavirus lady there at the Wuhan lab,
right.
Xing Yi Ge, and Zheng Li Li. They are all complicit.
You wrote about it in January 2020. January 13th, your article was released, and it nailed it.
Because without the virus, there is no justification. There is no transliteration.
Correct.
There is no ability to alter every single bit of procedure so that they could have unlimited ballot fraud and unlimited stacks of these ballot drop boxes and the insertion of these strange and mysterious Biden-only ballots that were delivered to the election counting centers in the dark of night on election night. There is no ability to do that without COVID-19. The virus is the 2020 election fraud.
Chad, listen, your ability to investigate, your ability to prognosticate, your ability to explain. Thank you for this. And it's astounding that you wrote about this in January 2020.
From award-winning journalist and author Chad Olson comes the all-new book, Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe. An old man building a ladder to the stars and hiding a deadly secret for his enemies. A social media mogul's last day on Earth and a dire warning for our future. A mysterious salesman offers a housewife a new chance at happiness. Will she leave it all behind for true love? Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe by Chad Olson. One critic writes, if Ray Bradbury and O. Henry had a literary love child, they might write like Chad Olson. Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe. 30 powerfully humanizing short stories in a page-turning portrait of the human heart. Available now at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and at select booksellers near you. Tales from the Red Rooster Cafe by Chad Olson. Your adventure awaits.
Find today's episode and previous editions of The Chad Olson Show on the podcast page of ChadOlsonShow.com. That's www.ChadOlsonShow.com. Log on now. Shad Olson Show.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I just think that as we go, things are just ratcheting very quickly toward events that are going to become a perpetual motion machine of... This happens fairly quickly and accelerates and escalates fairly quickly at a certain point. What they're doing to the population, this is a misery infliction device. Here you are on the 4th of July in Rapid City, South Dakota. Rapid City, South Dakota, you're in the heart of one of the states. What's happened, and some of you are aware of what's happened to South Dakota in the wake of the COVID shutdowns in blue city centers. You understand that because of South Dakota's policies, and I could expound on reasons that our Governor Kristi Noem is not the benevolent savior and Liberty Barbie that she purports to be. There's reasons for this. One of those, of course, having a voting record in Congress worse than John McCain and Mitt Romney. There's things that could be delved into and expanded and expounded and explained that I won't do at this point. But by virtue of the fact that we remained open for business, in large part, we're suffering an influx of population that is just absolutely astounding. And in the midst of that, in the midst of being recognized as a liberty destination, a place that didn't shut down businesses, didn't shut down churches, didn't insist on some of the things that were inflicted on the rest of the nation, you see this ratcheting very quickly as there's still this misery infliction device that is in place. People like NDN Collective, this community action organization heavily funded by places like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, millions of dollars in foundation grants that pour into this this community action, community organizing organization, openly espousing Marxist principles and revolution on American soil. They want to confiscate the Black Hills of South Dakota from people who had nothing to do with the Indian Wars, nothing to do with what happened back in the history, back in the 19th century of the United States, in the expansion and manifest destiny and all the rest. But they want to blame the great and great-great-grandchildren of those people for the things that happened in the conquest of a civilization. And this is what galls me to no end. On a long enough timeline, every single person that stepped foot on this continent is an immigrant. Every single person that arrived here is an immigrant. Those who came across the Bering Land Strait 10,000 years ago, yeah, we can quibble about timeline. Let's not waste time doing that. The immigrants of the Mongol Athabascan allele, genetically proven to be related to the folks in China. Think about the Mongolians. The Mongolian bloodline is the bloodline of the Native Americans that arrived over the Athabascan, Bering Strait, the Bering Land Bridge, across the top of the world, through the Arctic Circle, and then down into North America and populated this continent roughly 10 to 15,000 years ago. They are immigrants. The people who arrived here and then branched into the individual tribes, they are immigrants, and they were fighting each other, they were enslaving each other, they were committing tribal genocide. Entire tribes and peoples were wiped out in the skirmishes and the warfare that were taking place for tens of thousands of years on the North American continent. And yet the message now flourishes that the last tribe, the Lakota Sioux, are demanding that they get the land back. they want the Black Hills of South Dakota back because, well, don't you know, they were the ones who had it last prior to the arrival of European settlers on the North American continent. And you think of the lunacy and the disconnect that and nothing said about the Arikara, nothing said about the Hidatsa, Nothing said about the mound builder civilization that was here first in the settling of the Dakotas in North America, and were deposed and removed and forced out by the Crow and the Pawnee, and there's a long litany of hands of succession in the ownership of the Black Hills, and yet it's the Lakota who say that they deserve to get the land back and that white people should give up all territorial and private property rights in America. And if you read the things that are espoused on the NDN Collective's Facebook page, if you read through this, you see people even talking about private property as being the problem and being the root of all evil in the American system. And that of course, comes straight out of Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto. This is the reality. This is the reality of what it is that they're constantly accusing white folks of. They refer to us as Wasichu. Fairly certain that if we apply just pejorative nomenclature to the entirety of a race, we would be guilty of something akin to racism. And yet they're allowed to refer to us as Wasichu. That's someone who takes. That's a person who takes and destroys everything. That's the essential meaning of that Lakota word. Why we're being set up culturally and societally through white guilt, white shaming, this constant drumbeat and messaging of white guilt and white shaming and the evils of Eurocentric culture. All of this has a very clear destination. That is white genocide on the North American continent. If we will surrender and go quietly, we might be able to extend things just a bit, but I promise you that the destination is going to be extermination of anybody in America who does not bend the knee to the fully Marxist system in the United States. That is what Agenda 21 is about. That's Agenda 2030. All of this goes hand in glove with the collectivization of not just the United States, but of the world, and the use of these racial tropes to destroy and to displace European culture as a way to destroy and to bring Western civilization and the still flourishing tree of enlightenment in North America to bring that to a close and to put an end to the chapter, because they know that the American middle class is unbreakable in terms of our commitment to liberty, freedom, populist, conservative beliefs and values, and an advancement of the American dream as the birthright of every person who lives in this nation. We have been the largest impediment to the advancement of totalitarian superstate politics and the installation of a globalist one-world government. They're desperate to destroy that. They're desperate to deprive future generations of those opportunities because they want a permanent slave class. And this is the irony of everything, because you can't, anything to do with slavery needs to be wiped from history, and yet they are in the process of creating the greatest slave class civilization that the world has ever seen. That is the reality of it. And you look at a place like NDN Collective that is committed to Marxism and is committed to being a tool in the hands of the Marxist collective in the DNC. Black Lives Matter is the largest and most lucrative funding organization and wing of the Democrat National Committee. NDN Collective is right there, marching in lockstep. They want a confiscation of the land of the Midwest so they can put in place this agrarian scarcity model that's going to be used as the social compliance system in the United States. I'll say it again. People are so confused about Marxism. They always say it doesn't work. No, it functions precisely in the way it is supposed to. It uses starvation, privation, deprivation, and ultimately extermination and death as the weapons of social compliance. So when they talk about climate justice and they talk about this buzzword litany of nomenclature that they attach to this nonsensical verbiage, what they're talking about is the newly cloaked system of collectivization that is going to be used to bring the American nation and break us once and for all and take us down the rat hole into the gaping maw of historical destruction as they burn us to the ground. It is the reality of what it is that they're doing. And I promise you that we are watching the end of American society, and we're sitting and we're pontificating about it in social media, and we're having lots of rallies, and we're having very inspiring speeches by people who are committed to the battle for America and saving America and doing this and doing that. And yet we are getting beaten on every single front. And the reason is this. Our opponents and our enemies are all about action. They don't care if it's against the rules. They don't care who it offends. They don't care who is hurt in the process. They don't care what it is that is destroyed in the process. If it's a thoroughly and purely destructive action, they don't care what it is. They are going to take their action and they're going to execute their game plan with ruthless precision, regardless of what the consequences are. And they're not even begging permission, much less forgiveness. And then we go on our side, the conservative populists, we go on Facebook and we have meetings and we have rallies and we have conferences and we have educational outreach efforts and all these things that do absolutely nothing to mobilize the effort that's necessary to counter what's happening in this fully paramilitary Marxist coup of the United States. Meanwhile, you and I are now labeled as domestic insurrectionists, white supremacist terrorists. This is the amazing destruction of a culture, and we're sitting and we're having meetings about it. We're having conferences about it. We're griping about it on social media, and we're hoping with clutch pearls that 2022 and 2024 are somehow going to work out for the best. Meanwhile, our opponents have thoroughly made elections a misnomer in America. There is no such thing as a free, fair, and open election, and all of the election reform in the universe is going to be worthless. It's going to be worthless paper unless you have places and authorities that are willing to enforce those laws. New laws are going to be no less worthless than old laws in the enforcement of election reform. Even if it's passed in all 50 states, it makes absolutely no difference. You still have to have the moral authority and the courage to enforce those laws and to make sure that actual voters, that every ballot is legal, that every ballot is from a confirmed U.S. citizen with legal right to vote. All of that stuff still needs to be enforced, or it doesn't matter how many laws are passed, it only matters which laws are enforced. They're marching and steaming full steam ahead. Are we willing to counter what it is that they're doing? Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.